So what does a man do after 14 years of coaching basketball when he decides to retire? Well, he becomes an author, of course. My guest is Russ Bradbird, and he did exactly that and has just released his third book. Welcome, Russ, and congratulations.
Hi, Monica. I'm delighted to be here.
It's been such fun getting to know you through the press information, of course, and by reading your latest book, Make It, Take It. Excellent read.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a novel in stories, and it's been maybe 13 or 14 years in the making. I was working on the book off and on for a long time, so I'm happy to have it out out with the public.
Truer words were never spoken then, that a person does the best work they can do when they write about what they know. You obviously know this well, the topic of the behind-the-scenes life in basketball, in coaching.
There are writers that write about things that they're not familiar with, but I have no idea how they do that.
The fiction folks, my hat's off to them.
Through research and that kind of thing. These were stories that I had in my head and wound up getting twisted. There's very little literal truth in the book, but I think one of the things I was trying to do was to get to a truth that the fiction can get to that nonfiction can't. And I think it's a funny world. You know, we've got the 24/7 news cycle, and but even with the cameras on Penn State or Notre Dame football and those kinds of things all the time, we really don't know what's going on behind
the scenes.
Yeah. And so I was trying to take readers past what they'd see on television and past the ESPN kind of view of college sports.
Well, it gave me a real insight to kind of the emotional beating everybody takes, too, and dealing with the issues that are going on. Let's back up a little bit, if we could, to your very first book. Tell me the circumstances of Paddy on the Hardwood, A Journey in Irish Hoops, which you apparently published in 2006.
Yeah, it's the story. It's a memoir about my time in Ireland coaching. Ireland is the worst level of pro basketball in the world. And so it's a memoir about my coaching the Tralee Tigers into dead last place, and sort of taking comfort from learning Irish traditional music. So as I was trying to teach an American tradition, basketball, in a place that's very frustrating to coach, I was learning the Irish tradition of fiddling. And so the book sort of has this odd contrast between the fiddling and the basketball, but there are great parallels. And it's a funny book, if you think coming in last place is funny, which it didn't seem like.
Well, when
like
you have
a
name like the Tralee's Frosty's Tigers.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a, okay. What preceded your writing that book? You're going to Ireland, I should say.
Well, I went to Ireland because I thought the job would be easy. You know, I'd learned from Don Haskins and Lou Henson, and I was an American, and I was going to teach these Irish guys something about basketball, but everything that could possibly go wrong, you know, Murphy's Law was invented in Ireland, and and it was very much Murphy's Law. Everything that could go wrong went wrong, and we came in last place. And that's actually 90% of the book is about coming in last place. But I learned a lot about myself and a lot about my feelings about basketball and sort of coming to grips. So I went there to try and write this book, Make It, Take It, but it was immediately such a strange place to coach that I started keeping a diary, and I got overwhelmed by the diary. And I realized when I got back that I had a pretty good idea for a book on my hands with a memoir about coaching in the worst basketball league in the world.
Absolutely. Well, you skimmed past it quickly, but basically you spent 14 years working with the likes of Don Haskins and
Lou Henson.
And Lou Henson, absolute superb coaches. And you were with the best of the best. You came to us from Chicago, is that correct?
Yes.
And then obviously this writing bug really manifested, took over, and you are now at NMSU.
Yes, and I teach writing classes, but you know, I think you'd understand this, Monica. I think a lot of musicians began as listeners that sort of spilled over. You wouldn't find a musician who didn't love to listen to music.
Oh, absolutely.
And you wouldn't find a writer who didn't love to read. And the way it started with me was a love of reading and books, but specifically loving stories. You know, even when I was coaching, I was much more interested in, say, Don Haskins' story or the story of the 1966 team. You know, the personal stories were always much more interesting to me than the X's and O's and the statistics and that kind of thing. And some people, there's nothing wrong with that, but that part of the game never interested me. I rarely remember the score of a game or the statistics, but I remembered incidences from the game and things that Don Haskins said. And so I think for a long time, I think – what basketball did for me was it was a window into another world, and specifically an African-American world.
Yeah, and you were standing, I know the feeling, you're standing there part of something, but part of you is standing outside of the scene, watching it and weaving this story.
That's right, and thinking, hey, this is going to be an incredible story.
Yes,
and even
yes.
when I worked for Don Haskins, I knew that, you know, this was before all the hoopla about the 1960s team mm-hmm, really took off, but I knew, boy, that's an incredible story. Somebody ought to tell that story, and it's been told many times, and it's been told well. So I was always more interested in the stories than the statistics.
Well, how interesting that if, when you go to Ireland, you're thinking you're going to write what is now your third book. And then your second book intervened also, 40 Minutes of Hell, The Extraordinary Life of Nolan Richardson, which was published, what year was that?
In 2006. And I was I have this camp called Basketball in the Barrio, and Nolan's from that neighborhood. And he just showed up one day, and we got to talking, and he wanted to visit with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to talking, and when he left, I was also fascinated by what had happened to him. He'd gotten fired at the height of his career, it seemed to me. And I wondered, how does a guy go from winning the national championship to being, you know, to this bad press conference and being run out of town in Arkansas a few years later? And so I got distracted again. You know, the Nolan Richardson theme, it seemed like such a good story to tell, and I'm supposed to be writing fiction. But I got sort of captivated by Nolan's story and thought, I want to do this before someone else, you know, beats me to it.
There's also a sense of responsibility that what if nobody tells it? So,
well, that's right. And I think Nolan is such an important coach that eventually someone would have done it. But, you know, I thought, well, I've got an in with this guy. You know, I knew he played for Don Haskins. I used to work for Don Haskins. And I was doing the camp in his neighborhood in the Segundo Barrio. And it just seemed like a great. But it was a distraction again. It took me away from writing the fiction.
Well, congratulations on finally getting the nail driven in and getting this wonderful book written, Make It, Take It, a novel by Russ Bradbird. It is your third piece. And here's some good news. On the 15th, that's next Friday at 7:30 p.m., you'll be reading.
That's right. New Mexico State, where I teach. It's at Hardman Hall at 7:30.
At 7:30. Where more or less is Hardman Hall?
Well, it's
on
right
campus.
Next to the English department.
Okay.
Right next to the English department. And it's free. I'll sign a book if you come up.
Well, awesome.
You or any of the listeners.
How sweet. Well, the book can be found at Barnes & Noble. You can also pick it up at Cinco Puntos Press, which is the company right here in El Paso that published this wonderful book. And you can visit russbradbird.com for more information. That's RUSBRADBURD. Congratulations, Russ, and thank you so much for coming in today.
Monica, thanks a lot. It's great to be home at UTEP.